We're doing Eicha. We're up to the second chapter. Eicha. Every time we raise our voice, a drop. Every time we start Eicha. Every chapter. Ya'iv be'apo Adonai et batzion. The word Ya'iv can mean to uplift, like a cloud, like Av. Echa Ya'iv. How did Hashem uplift Zion Ba'po out of anger? It's as though, I don't know if you guys grew up with this cartoon, but I grew up with a cartoon where the bully picks up the kid to knock him down onto the floor. So Hashem lifted us to throw us down. Ya'iv Ba'po. How did Hashem lift us up to the clouds out of anger? Hishlich mishamayim eretz, with the intention to throw us from the heavens down to the earth. Tiferet Yisrael, the glory of Israel, because we were the most famous, the most looked up to nation on the planet. Hashem made us so great, and from that greatness we were thrown down. And in Hashem's anger, it's as though he didn't remember that we are the resting place of his feet. What does that mean? So there's a prophecy in Isaiah. We read it on Shabbat Rosh Chodesh. Hashamayim kisi v'aretz adom raglai. Rav Shlomo Fisher said a beautiful pshat on that, which is not his own. I don't remember who he was quoting. That kisei, we think the throne is spectacular. And the footrest, no, that's where you put your feet. But in fact, when you come to a throne, you descend to the throne. And when you put your feet on the footrest, you lift up your feet. And so the temple is called Hadom Raglav, the footrest of the Ribon Shalom, so to speak, because the temple is where we're supposed to uplift, to exalt the Ribon Shalom. So it's as though Hashem forgot that the temple was his footrest, so to speak, his representation on planet Earth. The word Ya'iv could also mean to put a cloud. Our sages say two concepts here. Our sages say that it's as though Hashem covered the heavens with clouds and our prayers couldn't pierce the clouds. Our sages say that if you want a day where your prayer will be accepted, pray when there aren't clouds. So it shocked me because today, as I was traveling into Jerusalem, I looked at the sky and I saw clouds. It's all, you know, a gray skyline. I said to myself, Tisha B'Av's coming. Echa Ya'iv Ba'po. That's what Tisha B'Av says. Hashem, in his anger, covered his sky with clouds. Our sages say that ever since the temple was destroyed, there has never been a clear day on planet Earth. Every time you think it's a beautiful, clear day, well, it's not as clear as it used to be. So you're thinking smog, pollution. Chazal say there's a different type of pollution in the air. Chazal say there was a special blessing they used to make after a rainy night. You'd wake up in the morning and everything was clear. And then they noticed after the temple was destroyed that it just didn't clear up like it used to. Even on the clearest day, it wasn't like it used to be. I'll give you an example. I remember as a child, I was born in Israel. When I was 4.5 years old, we moved to Chutz Lartz. I remember coming to the United States and asking my parents, 4.5 years old, I said to them, this is a funny sky they have in America. This isn't the color of the sky in Israel. And my parents said, you're right. And I remember once we were driving through Wisconsin and I looked at the sky and I said to my father, isn't this like the sky of Israel? So he said, you're right. And I came back to Israel and then I said, wow, this is the sky I remember from when I was a kid. So you might have noticed this, that the color of the sky here in Israel is not the same color of the sky in the United States. So sometimes you look at the sky and you say, it's a sky. No, it's a different color depending on where you are. Chazal tell us there's a different clearness in the air ever since the temple was destroyed. Ya'iv ba'po, in Hashem's anger, Hashem clouded up earth. Whether it means literally or figuratively, from the Shas it seems literal. Because the Shas quotes a blessing they used to make till the destruction, whenever they'd see a clear day, and it says ever since the destruction they stopped making it, because they said none of the clear days that we see are like the clear days that used to be when they instituted the blessing. Pasuk Bet. Bila Adonai velo chamal. Hashem wiped us out. without any compassion. Eit kol ne'ot Yaakov, all the houses of Jacob. Ne'ot is like neve. Haras bevrato, in Hashem's anger, Hashem destroyed Mivtzerei Vat Yehuda. Higia la'aretz, the fortifications, the cities that were so fortified, Hashem brought them down to the ground. Chilel mamlacha v'sareha, Hashem destroyed anything that could resemble strength and force, be it a castle, be it a tower, be it a wall fortifying a city. Hashem demolished them all. Notice, this is one of the key lessons of Tanakh. You read Eicha, it sounds like Hashem came down with a bat and boom, 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 finished it all off. Wait a second. We saw an army. They're called Babylonians. They're called Kastim. That's why someone asked me, what was the book that most affected me in developing my emunah? And I said, truthfully, the Tanakh. Because this idea that repeatedly we are taught, it's not the Hamas, it's not the Hezbollah, it's not ISIS, it's not Iran. There's a plan and there's a hand that guides. And it's up to us, and that hand can guide the world in this direction or that direction. And he's waiting for us. And that's the recurring theme in all of Tanakh. It's the recurring theme over here. Hashem is the one destroying the temple. But wait a second, what about the Babylonians? Right, they're the staff in Hashem's hands, but it's Hashem doing it.
So don't you think that right now that's our job to have the clarity that that's what's happening and the whole world is turning against us and everybody's going crazy trying to change the mind of the world?
There are two levels. You have to work on a shtedlut level, but you have to recognize that what I'm attempting to do can succeed or not succeed. At the end of the day, he's pulling the string. So I have to try that, right? But that's one of the messages of Tisha B'Av. We're mourning because we're recognizing not only the loss of the past, but the loss of the present. Tisha B'Av is to arouse us to appreciate where we have to go. Every fast day is to arouse a person to think, wait a second. Am I living up to my actions? Am I doing what I should be doing? Or am I just like the people who brought about the destruction of the temple?
Just frustrated that not all of Am Yisrael sees that.
I'm frustrated that I don't see that.
What do you mean?
If I really lived up to this concept, wouldn't I be more careful about so many things, like how I speak and what I do?
And of course we could do better in everything, but the bottom line that it's from Hashem...
I don't know. I would worry about myself, and I'm worried about myself. In all honesty, there's the theory. We speak the theory well, but the question is, do we live up to the theory? Does our Birkat Hamazon reflect that the Ribon Shalom cares if you bench or don't bench? You ate dinner. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. So I'm more worried about me. All of Klal Yisrael, well, I believe, and this is a recurring theme in Chazal, that if we work to become better people and we're kind to other people, then as we elevate ourselves, we will bring other people up with us. It goes by osmosis, but we got to do it to ourselves. I once wanted to meet with Rav Bigun, so I come out to the secretary and the guy tells me, go in, the Rav's in his office. So I come into the office, and Rav Bigun is benching. It's okay, once I walked in, I wasn't going to walk out. Then I'll have someone else bump me in line. So I sat down, and I had a beautiful lesson for the next 10 minutes to see what Birkat Hamazon with Kavanah is. He didn't rush just because I was waiting there. He said his Birkat Hamazon slowly, and it's a lesson that stayed with me ever since, what Birkat Hamazon should look like. Pasuk Gimel. Gada Machoriyaf. Kol Keren Yisrael. In Hashem's wrath, He uprooted the horn, the honor of Israel. Heishivacho Yemino Mipnei Oyev. It's as though Hashem pulled back His hand and said, "I'm not helping them. I'm not going to help my people. Let the enemy come in." Vayivar beYaakov keish leava. Achila saviv, and so the fires of the enemies burnt down Jacob from all around. Darach kashto keoyev. It's as though Hashem pulled back his bow like the enemy. It's not only that he didn't fight off our enemies, it's that Hashem pulled back his hand as though he doesn't even have the strength. And then he pulled back the bow as though he was the enemy. Nitzav yemino kitzar. And then Hashem brought down whatever we cherished. Be'oil bat Zion shafach ha'esh chamato. In the tent of Zion, Hashem poured out his anger like fire, and that's the idea that we have on tradition that the enemies could not have taken down Jerusalem. It was because Hashem helped them. Hashem said, I'm destroying the city. Haya Adonai ke'oyev bila Yisrael. Hashem was like our enemy. He destroyed Israel. Bila kol ha'minoteha. Hashem destroyed all the castles. Shichet mivtzarar. Hashem destroyed all the fortifications. And this is talking about step one of the exile. The first temple's destruction was more horrific than the Holocaust. In the destruction of the first temple, you had over 10 million Jews scattered and murdered. You had Jews from the northern 10 tribes, from the eastern side of the Jordan, taken into exile, taken into captivity, murdered, to the point where we lost the majority of the Jewish people. The number is in the range of 10 million. And so the first thing is, Hashem was like our enemy. He destroyed Israel. The Talmud asks, how do we have any remnants from the 10 tribes? So we do, but they're few and far between. Hashem destroyed Israel, destroyed the castles of the 10 tribes. Vayerev bevat Yehuda, taniya vaniya. So after the exile of the 10 tribes, Judea was left alone, this little enclave, Jerusalem, the little tribe of Judea. And so within Judea, Hashem made tremendous amount of weeping and sorrow. And that's the pasuk we spoke about earlier, Taniya Vaniya, weeping and sorrow, referencing the two destructions that happened on the same night. Vayachmos Kagan Suko. Hashem took Suko, his temple. Hashem uprooted it like a vegetable garden. When you pull out the vegetables, you take out the root, right? Shichet Moado. Hashem destroyed the meeting ground. I don't know, you guys haven't had this yet, but there are things in life that are like a reset button. Sometimes for some people it's visiting their elementary school. For some people it's visiting their high school. For some people it's going to grandma's house. For some people it's going to the shul they grew up in, to the community they grew up in. For some people it's going back to their high school principal or that teacher that loved them. There are things in our life that very often represent the reset button. You go back there and you feel like you've walked into a secluded, a protective region, and from there you can go back and face the world and move forward again. At different stages in life, it can be different things. For some people, it's usually not your home, by the way. You think it's after you get married, it's your home. It's not. Your home is what's demanding. Your home is your second job. That's like saying, I go to work, that's where I hit the reset button. You get refreshed, you get rejuvenated. But people have a place where they go, and that's like their reset button. The Beis HaMikdash was our reset button. The Beit HaMikdash was Moado, the place where Hashem says, I'm here to meet with you. It's like, imagine you meet the girl of your dreams, and you go to your first date, and afterwards, every time there are troubles, when you go back to that place where you had your first date, so there's a certain element of, we hit the reset button. The Beit HaMikdash was that. Comes Hashem and destroys it. What kind of message is Hashem giving us? And that's why the Jewish people were so confused. Are we still connected? Are we still married? And that's the recurring theme in Eicha as well. Yes, we are. Hashem's very upset at us, but we're still connected. So Hashem destroyed the very place which was used as meeting ground between Hashem and us. Shikach Adonai B'tzion Moed V'Shabbat. Hashem made that Zion, in Zion, Shabbos and holidays would be scarce. There'd be no one there to observe them. Vayinatz b'zamapo melech v'kohen. And in Hashem's anger, Hashem destroyed the king and the kohen. The king's job is to ensure the observance of Torah. The kohen's job is to ensure the teaching of Torah. And when Hashem destroys the temple, Hashem is also destroying the people who are responsible to disseminate the message of the temple. The melech, the kohen. On Tisha B'Av, we have a responsibility to stay focused. So Tisha B'Av morning, you sit in shul, and us Ashkenazim go chapter by chapter of the different lamentations that were compiled over the generations. And you're not supposed to go out for a break, for a smoke, for a breather. You're supposed to stay focused on the morning. Not one day a year, you know. Kedayu Beit Elokeinu, our temple is something that's worth pausing in life and thinking about the meaning and what happened. But tonight is not Tisha B'Av. And I get the feeling that going on and on in Eicha is getting a little depressing, which is good. Eicha should be depressing, but maybe not on a Thursday night. So let's pause, we'll switch topics, and later on, if you guys have kach, we'll come back and continue.